The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
To have you along. This is going to be another historic program for you tonight, and I mean that in every sense of the term. Historic. History. A lot to talk about. There is much going on. History, we all study it. Most people hate it. It's boring. You memorize, you spit it back, you get a grade. Boring. Unfortunately, what we're studying, memorizing, and spitting back isn't really history at all. What is it? In the simplest terms, history, as it is most commonly thought of and disseminated to the public, is the story of our past and the events therein of note. However, these events are fashioned and told to us by successive generations and cabals and the rulers of nations and empires and the global controllers who this very minute are plotting to further deform history to keep us under their hegemony and control. In short, history is essentially a carefully constructed version of events. It is a succession of lies and perversions of reality created to serve the greed and the interests and the lust for power and domination by governments and the people, if you can use that term, who run them. History is often nothing more than a grand deception, a fraud perpetrated on the unwitting public. History is written by the winners. Always remember that. This program, in the past and tonight, and its wonderful guests and contributors and friends of mine and friends of yours, we have tried to do remarkable things, straighten out history as it is popularly taught, and bring it into accord with reality and the facts in which it originally occurred and transpired. Thanks to some breathtaking technology, and I'm going to use that word advisedly but correctly, breathtaking technology and recent discoveries, we have been able to present you folks with some stunning revelations of what really happened while debunking some of the biggest myths in human contemporary history. Experience. First, reverse speech. David John Oates, and if you have heard the JFK program, for example, and some of the recent political reverse speech programs, for example, you will be amazed. The JFK program alone is one of the most historic radio programs, I think, in American history. It will be around for a long, long time. And if you haven't heard it and you don't yet know who killed JFK and why, don't miss that program. You can find it on the right-hand side of Rents.com. Listen to it anytime, anywhere. And now we have another technology. that's been around for quite a long time, ever since Ingo Swann and Stanford research got behind this idea of being able to psychically go into the past, into the future, and remotely view events. Remote viewing, of course, is done under very strict protocols. The viewers, and most everyone has a little bit of ability. If you train and learn and practice, you can get to be very good at it sometimes. And then some people are just gifted, like Dick Allgaier. He is clearly one of the greatest remote viewers of our time, maybe of all time. He is remarkable. We're going to spend some time tonight with Dick Allgaier. Remote viewing allows us to time travel back into the past or even into the future, but mostly in our own time, real time, and look at events that are going on that we're not supposed to be able to see. Remote viewing allows us to see those events with a very high probability of being accurate. We are going tonight to remote view and take you on a journey with Dick Allgaier, the great historian, and our friend Jim Mars, and Harry Cooper, who has bravely gone where no man has gone before and exposed the truth of what happened to Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun. They didn't die in the bunker. Harry's book, Hitler in Argentina, is a landmark book. Jim Mars' research into the Third Reich, his writings, are stunning. And now what Dick Allgaier has found out through remote viewing and having been assigned a target by Courtney Brown at the Farsight Institute, which Dick had no idea what it was. It was just numbers and letters. And he's asked to find out what those numbers and letters lead to. That's remote viewing in a very simple nutshell. So let's welcome our friends back tonight. We've been on the air together before. We'll be on again. This is really going to be a sensational program, and I'm really happy to have each and every one of you along. Let's start with the author and a ferocious researcher and historian, Harry Cooper, who founded Shark Hunters, one of the great organizations online to bring history to you in its 100% unvarnished truth. Harry, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome, Admiral.
Great to be back on your show again.
Thanks. Always a pleasure. This is another special night. Your book, Hitler in Argentina, came on the heels of your first book about this, Escape from the Bunker, 25 years ago now. And we talked, and I nudged you, and I said, you've got to update this. And you took it and ran with it and produced this magnificent book, Hitler in Argentina. And if you folks haven't read it, for God's sakes, get it and read it. Tell us about the book, Harry, and how it's doing.
Okay, well, we just, the poor UPS guy about broke his back. We just got another shipment in for us to ship out again right away. The book is doing incredibly well, thank God. It's well over the bestseller mark, and we've gotten it translated into Spanish, and I think it's available now in Spanish. We haven't in Portuguese. We haven't quite gotten that ready for release. We're trying to get somebody to do it in German for us, but every time one of our German friends volunteers to do it, within 2 weeks at the most, he or she has a change of heart.
They unvolunteer, yes.
They unvolunteered. So then we also just received an email from a friend in Russia who says this thing must be made available in Russian. So he volunteered to translate into Russian.
So he'll have better luck probably there than Germany. Germany is controlled, unfortunately, by the elements and the banksters and their controllers who won the war, if winning the war was really what happened. But they control things, and you just don't talk about history as it has been cast in steel by the winners in that regard.
Unfortunately, that's true. And, you know, for a long time it's been a crime in Germany to deny the Holocaust, and recently they've passed a law that making it illegal to even question the Holocaust.
Yeah, you can question God, you can do anything, but you cannot question the religion of the Holocaust.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And you cannot show anything from the Third Reich in a positive light. And as a hell of an example, our friend Captain Reinhard Hardagen, member number 102, we're up over, well over 8,000 members now. He's the guy who was commander of the boat that sank the first ship in American waters. He just turned 103 years old 2 months ago.
Wow.
And they posted, some friends posted a picture of him online in World War II when he received the oak leaf to his Knight's Cross, and he was shaking hands with Hitler. But they cut the picture to where only Captain Hardagen was in the picture, and he, and the only part of Hitler you saw was his hand, because Hardagen was shaking hands with Hitler. Nope. Took that sucker right off of Facebook.
Well, yeah, this is worse than religious fanaticism. It's more than that. The whole idea of what allegedly Germany did to so many people, even though the facts don't support it, it doesn't matter. It's what they say happened, and God help you if you question that. Remember the guy in England the other day, 2 days ago? He had trained his dog to do the so-called Nazi salute with one of his paws. He was arrested.
Okay.
They arrested him. This is how insane it is. We're not allowed to question history if it has anything to do with Germany or World War II. It's just preposterous.
One of our friends over in Germany, who's you've seen pictures of me with several of those guys who look like they're, you know, football linemen.
Yeah.
And this one guy over there, he'll say to his dog, "Mach dem Führer." Make like the Fuhrer, and the dog sits down and raises his right paw up in the air. That, as intelligent people know, that is the Roman salute.
Goes way back. Meant, sure.
Yeah, for when two men are meeting, they put their right arm out like that to show they have an empty hand. There's no weapon. But incidentally, I was watching some cowboy movie the other day, Gary Cooper or Randolph Scott, I forget what it was, and it was filmed in the middle 50s, and they were in an Indian encampment, and there's about a 4 foot big swastika on the side of this Indian's tent.
So it's been around for a long time too.
Those Indians must have been Nazis, of course. Navajo was using that sign for 2,000 years, but
all true. Well, very good. Okay, Harry Cooper, our one of our round table tonight. Let's next go to say hello to Jim Mars. James needs no introduction. You don't get any introduction. Sorry, you're too damn famous.
Well, I don't need an introduction. I want to mention, though, and Harry will love this, I have in my possession a patch, a World War II patch from an Oklahoma division, and it's red with a swastika on it, okay?
Yep, that's needless to say, that'd be the 45th Infantry.
That's it. And needless to say, after the war started, they changed that.
Yeah, they changed it to the Navajo Thunderbird. They're the ones who machine gunned all the guards at Dachau camp after they ran through it.
Yep. You got it. That's correct. Jim, this whole thing about questioning World War II and looking into Germany, I know I went looking for online information of Germany in the late 20s and 30s, the Weimar days. There's hardly anything left. It's been scrubbed. You can't find it. You can't find out that the Zionists and communists were trying to take over Germany. They were actually inciting great suffering among the German people, and
we all know about the putsch of the Nazis, but you never hear about the in Bavaria for months. They had a big uprising and a rebellion, and it was the communists. You don't really hear about that much.
No.
I knew something was funky about World War II early on, because one of my uncles served in Europe and served in Patton's army. And when I was a little kid, he was telling me about driving his Jeep through the outskirts of Berlin. And as I got older and studied conventional history, I went back to him. I said, "How could you be driving in the outskirts of Berlin?" I said, "The Russians took Berlin." He said, "No." He said, "White flags were out all over the place. We drove right into the suburbs, were driving all around, and then Patton got orders to pull back about 100 miles and then just sit there." And because the deal had been cut to make the Russians take Berlin, the Germans were giving up whole lots to the Western Allies. But they fought tooth and toenail against the Russians, and the deals were cut where we let the Russians take Berlin.
Little did those poor German soldiers know what fate waited for many of them at the hands of the wonderful American Allied victors and their leader, Dwight Eisenhower, who slaughtered at least a million of them in cold blood after the war ended. You never hear about that either.
No, and I'm reminded of the U.S. Guard, the Army Guard, that was arrested and court-martialed because he was caught throwing food over the fence to the German prisoners.
Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. And I've read accounts.
Well, see, that's the history we never get told about.
Of course not. That's real history, you see. That's what I talked about in the introduction here. The idea that these men were put out in barbed wire encampments, and I'm talking about no structures, no tents, just barbed wire encampments, and they died in the elements. Eisenhower he hated the Germans. He was a sick man, a sick SOB, just like Churchill, just like Bomber Harris, just like Joseph Stalin. There's a lot to be said about this. We won't go into it tonight, but Jim knows, Harry knows, all of you folks know that the story of World War II that we are ingrained with is a lie. It's just a lie. Okay, now, let us move forward and bring on the man of the hour, in fact, 2 hours tonight, Dick Allgaier, who's been with us with the JFK story. He remote viewed Dealey Plaza on November 22nd, 1963, and we have a stunning program up there for you right now with Dick and Jim talking about that, and it was just an incredible thing to experience. Now, I got a call from Dick several months ago, I think, that he was remote viewing something. He didn't know what it was, and when it was done, it turned out to be the death of Adolf Hitler at the end of his life. And I already knew that Hitler didn't die in the bunker. Dick didn't have any idea about this stuff. Dick, welcome back, friend. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. Well, it's about 4:20 out here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I'm looking out, 2 miles away is Waikiki Beach, and I see the H1 freeway with rush hour traffic starting. And hello to Jim Mars and Harry Cooper. It's going to be great to speak with you. I'm a Shark Hunters member, but I've never spoken with you directly.
It's good to hear from you. And
Dick,
hey,
Jeff,
it's 20 after 10 here, and it's colder than hell.
It's cold, huh? Oh, go ahead, Dick.
It's cold in Florida right
Jeff,
now.
Jeff, I need to hang up real quick and have Todd call me back. It sounds like you are 3,000 miles away, and it sounds like Harry and Jim are about 10,000 miles away.
Okay, go ahead and hang up. He'll call you right back. Jim, the idea of remote viewing was laughed off by a lot of people. And then I'll never forget, was it 1994, about then, when Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense, I think, was his rank, held that news conference and said that, well, we did have a secret program about this remote viewing stuff, but we've come to the determination after trying it to our damnedest, it doesn't work, we're dropping it. And, you know, I actually laughed when I was watching this.
Well, it's laughable because how do you explain the fact that the United States Army and the DIA and a bunch of those alphabet agencies, CIA, they all knew about this, and it was experimented on, practiced on, developed, and used operationally through three administrations for about 30 years or more. And then they try to say, yeah, but we didn't get anything out of it. Give me a break.
Now, Jim knows about remote viewing extensively. He's written about it. He's practiced it. He actually taught it. So it's there. Harry, have you had much experience with remote viewing? Do you know a lot about it?
No, only what I picked up from you. So I'm kind of a neophyte here in this conversation.
Well, on my homepage at the top, and it's your homepage, where the top splash art is, I want to draw all of your attention to the big poster up there, and it says, "What Really Happened to Hitler? Remote Viewing the Death of the Führer." It's there. You can look at the trailer underneath it. You can also click and go and order your own DVD. You can watch it online right now, tonight, and it is absolutely fascinating. Dick, are you back?
Yes, I'm back. You know, I had a feeling, having not spoken to Harry about remote viewing, my thought would be that he would say, I don't know nothing about remote viewing. I get my information the old-fashioned way, boots on the ground, speaking to witnesses face-to-face, things I can see and put my hands on. And that's why we have Harry on tonight, because
he's like Jim. He gets back and he digs and he reads and he researches. He also is blessed, like all great journalists and historians, to have some astonishing contacts, which he has earned. Harry, these people, like the gentleman who sent you that first lengthy summary of what really happened in the bunker. Tell us just briefly about him.
Yeah, that was Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco. He was a Spaniard working for the Third Reich in various functions, but the last 3 months of the war he was in the Führer bunker, and part of his job was to deliver a report on something or another to Hitler. So he knew Hitler, Hitler knew him, and he saw Hitler forcibly drugged under orders of Martin Bormann, he and Eva Braun, and removed from the Führer bunker. Then he continued to work for the Third Reich all the way up until 1958. Yes, there was a Third Reich, still is for that matter, and in 1952, 7 years after the alleged suicide, he met with Hitler, and in my book, Don Angel said he had flown down to Antarctica, and I think this was a deliberate deception, because I'm quite certain he flew down to Bariloche, where I've been down to Bariloche a couple of times and met with a lot of people who knew Hitler, and unfortunately, within the last 10 years, I guess it was, somebody broke into Don Angel's office over in Madrid and ransacked it and stole everything that wasn't nailed down. So, and Don Angel's gone now, but I'm supposed to visit with his son. I'm going over to Europe in a month. I'm supposed to visit with his son and with the son of Heinz Schaefer, the guy who surrendered his submarine 3 months after the war ended in Mar del Plata, Argentina.
I couldn't even begin to guess as to who might have ransacked his office and stolen everything. All right, okay. We all know. Look, I think that's sort of cast in concrete. We know the enemy of history as we would like to know it. And thanks to Dick Allgaier, Jim Mars, and Harry Cooper, we all are better for it. We all have the option, the opportunity now, to avail ourselves of historic reality. It's there. Hitler in Argentina, the book, Jim Marr's books are absolutely brilliant, second to none, and Dick Allgaier's talents are staggering, which you will see if you pay to view or buy your own copy of the DVD documentary, What Really Happened to Hitler, Remote Viewing, The Death of the Führer. Be right back. Okay, let's get right back to the program. A two-hour special tonight that will be another historic radio program in terms of bringing history into accord with the facts of what happened. You know, Jim, when you get over your pneumonia there, the idea that Harry Cooper was blessed to have Don Angel as a source is just staggering. He sent Harry, well, how was it, 60, 70 pages, the first long note that you got from him?
No, it was typewritten, single space, 114 pages, in which he told the whole story, and that's in the book, Hitler in Argentina, plus another 150 pages or so files and documents and photographs, etc. It's just, you know, once you read that, if you still think Hitler committed suicide, then there's no hope for you.
No, that sums it up pretty well. Jim, this whole thing of corrupting Germany, everything about Germany is Nazi. even though only 1 out of 10 German military were affiliated with the party at all. There were hundreds of thousands of German Jews who served in the military during the war, volunteers.
People don't know that.
They don't know. They have no idea. They don't know that Eisenhower was a mass murdering butcher. And they also don't know, fast forward, that George Herbert Walker Bush, one of the co-conspirators in the murder of our great John F. Kennedy in Dallas, said when he was president, allegedly, if they knew what we were really doing, the people would drag us out in the streets and hang us. And he was right.
That's what's amazing. Even the people involved tell the truth, but we're being snowballed by five multinational corporations that control everything we see and hear. And those five corporations have interlocking directorships and ownership. For example, this is a quote from Winston Churchill, okay? Remember Winnie, the British bulldog, the winner of World War II?
The alcoholic pervert, yeah.
Well, here's Churchill's quote, and this pretty well tells the story. Germany's unforgivable crime before the Second World War was her attempt to extricate her economic power from the world's trading system and to create her own exchange mechanism, which would deny world finance its opportunity to profit.
Wow. There you go. Shades of
that was in a nutshell.
The ghost of Muammar Gaddafi, the ghost of Saddam Hussein, tried to set up their own currencies. You don't buck the international banking cartel and their central bank system of corruption and domination. All right, let's go to
Dick. But that's exactly what Hitler did by issuing Reichmarks instead of borrowing money.
Exactly.
And then he set the people who were Germans who were suffering from the Depression, just like everybody else, back to work by building the Autobahn and public buildings and, yes, rearming. And he had everybody back to work.
On the cover of Time magazine 4 times, Man of the Year once or twice, I can't remember. Extraordinary thing. And after the war, one more remark about Winston Churchill, if I can stomach it. He did say in his biography that World War II had nothing to do with National Socialism or Nazism. It was a war against Germany, the country, and the German people, to crush them once and for all so they wouldn't try to establish what we might call a new world order, for the lack of a better term. Anyway, look, history is so fascinating when it's told and when you have the opportunity to find out what really happened, people. So don't just sit and think you have no options. You have options. All right, Dick Allgaier, remote viewer. Let's take it from the top, and do go look, please, at the trailer under the poster on the homepage. You can't miss it. It's right there. Get yourself a copy of this. I think it's $9 and something. 99 cents if you want to view it. Tell us more, Dick, about this project, how it got started. We've got an hour and a half here with a commercial break at the top, and so let's roll into it.
Well, first of all, we should let your listeners know that Jeff Rentz is a co-producer of this, helped write it, and Jeff, your help was invaluable. There were nights when we were cutting this, and Jeff would do his radio show in his regular 14 to 16-hour day, and then late at night, watch clips, offer suggestions, make recommendations, and we used almost all of them. Jeff, it was just a pleasure working with you. I really enjoyed your help in this.
Thank you, Dick. That's very nice. I'm
and
honored.
You're the narrator.
Yeah.
It's so special to have your voice on it. Came to challenge the story of Hitler's death using remote viewing is really an interesting story, because I was a mainstream newscaster for my whole life, and I knew that Hitler committed suicide in the bunker because that's what they told me in school. The newsreels of the time showed it. The headlines had it in bold print. The Russians had his skull. I'd seen that on the History Channel. That was history.
That was the History Channel, yeah.
It was history. Everybody knows. Up until late in life, I accepted that. In about 1995 or 96, I heard about remote viewing. And here I was, newscaster in Honolulu. And somehow I found out that there was going to be a free lecture at a New Age, psychic shop, a lecture by a guy that was a former military remote viewer that no one had ever heard of. So I went with a friend and listened to this guy, and he just oozed authenticity. I mean, you can tell someone that their military bearing and the way he didn't present this as, hey, we're going to, give me $29.95 or $2,000 or whatever, and we'll show you how to find your true path in life. It was just, well, this is how it works. It's a communication skill. It's a natural ability. And if you guys want to learn how to do it, we're going to have a class next week. It's free. And I showed up to that, and he said, here's what you do, a certain way to close your eyes and a certain way to look, and you can only look for 1.5 seconds and try to see this target. And it was never sold to us, or no claims were ever made. It was just, here's what you do. Do this. I have a picture of something in an envelope. Close your eyes and try to see it. And we all did that. There would be 16 of us in a classroom, week after week after week. And for many weeks, all I did was look for 2 seconds. And that was the length of the session, 3 pages. A month later, they gave us another protocol where we would make a squiggle and probe it to see if it was man-made or natural or moving or at rest. And it built up slowly by slowly. But along the way, it was so interesting and so validated at each step along the way that pretty soon it was months later and we were still doing it. And we got more and more skills. Now, I don't believe you can teach this in a weekend or a week. I think anybody can do it, but it takes a lot of work. So I have been doing that for 18 years. And Harry, it is used by the U.S. military, and there's a lot of nonsense and BS out in the world about it, as there are, as there is with any subject. But I feel I do a legitimate version of it. A year ago, Courtney Brown. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
No, that was Harry. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, I just said, okay. I'm learning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we all are. And
okay. And
when you see the documentary, and Dick being a former anchorman, news producer, he knows how to set this up. He put a camera up and actually video recorded himself during his remote viewing state of mind, we'll call it, while he's drawing things on the whiteboard. And then you'll see photographs to overlay what he's drawing. From having no lead, he is just put out there with a set of numbers and letters, and Courtney Brown would tell him, this is your task. They call it tasking. What do you see when you think about these target numbers and letters? Go ahead, Dick.
Okay, so it's always done blind. It has to be done with the viewer knowing absolutely nothing about the target. We're not told, hey, we're going to look at the death of a famous man, or we're going to look at the death of Hitler. No, no, no. You're not told that it's a person. You're not told that it's a place. It could be anything, anywhere, anytime. I was told this was target 14C and target 14D, and then we generated some other numbers. So I didn't know anything. Courtney Brown tasked this about a year ago, and I did about a month's worth of work on these two targets, along with I was doing other targets for another project in between this. So I'd work on a target, and I'd stand there and I'd say, well, there's a guy giving a speech or something, and he seems real charismatic, and then I'd go do something else. And you can see in the video, I have a beard in one session, I'm clean shaven in the other. It was weeks apart. And then I'd say, well, there's something to do with, man, I see an old style laboratory with a blackboard and nuclear calculations and slide rolls and stuff. I don't know what that's about. And along the way, I'm getting no feedback, told nothing about it. Well, I never knew it was Hitler. I never figured out it was Hitler. We talk about that in the video.
Yeah.
And Jim talks about that in the video. But when we got the feedback, Courtney Brown, what he was looking at, and I don't want to say anything, Courtney's my dear friend, I don't want to say anything negative about him, but he was trying to prove that Hitler was a murdering madman. And he also felt that Hitler may not have killed himself, that he really died in the bunker, but that he was murdered by his own people to make him look heroic and to not be put through like what Mussolini was put through. He felt, I don't think Hitler and Eva would have killed themselves. So that's what he was expecting. And when I produced this work in this documentary, it originally hit the cutting room floor. It sat on a computer for a long time because it was considered to be not right.
You missed, you missed the target. Yeah.
So I hear Harry Cooper on your show, and I've read Jim Marr's book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, and I had dismissed my own data, and it was like, okay, well, we're not going to, I don't know if we should do anything with that. Courtney said, I'm not going to put it out, but you did it. You own it. Well, I read Harry's book. I went back and looked at my work again, and I thought, maybe, I don't know if this is that bad. Maybe it's not that bad. So I sent it to Jim Mars and said, hey, Jim, will you look at this? And then it evolved into this documentary where things that I didn't understand started to make sense in the context of what Jim and Harry know. So that's how it came about.
It's a stunning thing to watch. You see Dick at the whiteboard drawing, and you see him just try. He says, I know this man. I don't know who it is, but I know who this man is. And he's drawing a podium. He's drawing a presentation platform, and he draws the building, what it looks like on the outside. And then you see it was not in, if they call it the Reichstag speech. Tell us about that angle, Dick.
Well, that part of the target was given by the project manager and the tasker as a validation, because we know we have film of Hitler giving that speech, and we know where it was and when it was, and it can all be verified and documented. So the question was, given no information, standing up there just with a blank board and only knowing that this is target 14C, could I identify that it was a man giving a speech in front of some people? So that was used as the basis to continue on, because that was verifiable, and I did, it was a pretty good job of remote viewing. If you want to be convinced that remote viewing is true, look at that clip of Hitler, and then look how I described it. It was pretty good.
It's more than that, Dick. It was staggering. Just amazing.
Well, the interesting thing was, and Courtney, we know that our job is to do like a survey of the target. If there are buildings, draw the buildings. If there's land, draw what the land is. So I said, okay, this is in a building. I'm going to go look at the building. So I saw these archways, and I drew it. And when I got the feedback, the target was Hitler giving the speech at the Reichstag. So I looked up Reichstag. And that building didn't look like what I drew. I said, "Wow, I missed that." It was a building. I guess there's some arches. It was pretty close. And then I found out that particular speech was not at the Reichstag building. It was at the Kroll Opera House. So I get on Google. I look up Kroll Opera House. Oh, that's what I drew. Yeah, that's what I saw.
He drew it, folks. He drew it exactly. You're going to be just stunned when you see this. Let me go to Jim for just a minute. Jim, this as a remote viewing, we'll call it a project, a targeting, a tasking. Dick Allgaier has really shown his stuff again. This is a stunning display of a skill that we have that our controllers don't want us to know we have.
That's true. Don't hesitate to call it a technology, because that's what they called it in the CIA and the Army's Security and Intelligence Command. So it is a technology. It's a human technology. And the reason that Hitler was making his big speech in the Kroll Opera House is because the Reichstag burned in late January, I believe, 1933. Just right after Hitler had been elected chancellor, which is kind of like vice president. And then after the Reichstag burned, their parliament building burned, and now it's been pretty well established that the Nazis set the fire themselves and then blamed it on the terrorists, the communist terrorists, right? And then everybody, the Germans, were all upset because in that more peaceful, genteel era of the 1930s, especially in educated and sophisticated Germany, the burning of their parliament was as shocking to them as 9/11 was to us.
Exactly.
And then right after, they passed the Enabling Act, which gave Hitler all the power, consolidated all their police forces into one Gestapo, secret police, built detention centers for dissidents, which turned out to be the concentration camp system, and off we were into the Holocaust and World War II. And does that sound familiar? Sounds like 9/11 and the Patriot Act.
It's the same thing. Same thing. Look, nothing. There's nothing new. They just put a new coat of paint on
history,
it.
You're going to repeat it.
That's right. That's right. Harry, have anything to put in here?
I'm listening.
Okay.
My thought on if you don't learn your history, you're bound to repeat it. Well, that's true. It's a nice buzzword, but we've been repeating our mistakes from the time Cain killed his brother Abel.
That's right.
We've been repeating it again and again and again. And so many people don't realize how we are manipulated. I just wrote an op-ed for our local paper today about now the war on transgenders. We've had the war on women, war on Hispanics, et cetera, et cetera. And all it is to get people to vigorously take one side or the other and divide us again to where we can have more laws put in, more taxes, and more controls.
Divide us and conquer us, right?
Exactly. And
why would they want to do that, Harry? Because in the words of Henry Kissinger, the greatest obstacle to the New World Order is the United States of America.
Well, sure, because
they have to destroy us.
We all have guns. We all have more freedom than anybody else.
Yeah.
And the Constitution,
and we have a Constitution.
Yeah, which Barack Obama has been shredding routinely.
Right. Well, that's his job, you know.
Yes,
he's doing a good job.
Right. I tell people that he's not a bad president. He's a puppet, and he's doing what he's ordered to do, and they think I'm a nut.
Well, exactly.
Good for them.
That's because they watch TV.
Yeah.
It's really amazing when you think of the television generation, which started in the 50s, for all intents and purposes, over here. I remember when I was in college and walking into the living room, and there were six or eight people there, friends, and they were watching TV. And I was sideways to them, and I looked at them. They were gone. They were completely entrained to the television. They might as well have had long plastic tubes with intravenous needles coming out from that TV and plugged into their arms. I'm not kidding. And I said, my God, this is an overwhelming technology. I had never known it. And then I saw it, and I knew. And that was the beginning. Now look where we are.
Control device.
Oh, cell phones, smartphones in people's hands. You take those away from people, they go into withdrawals in minutes. They've got to have it back. It's amazing. Instant connectivity, totally hive mentality. That's where we are now. We are a hive. They're all connected with their smartphones like bees. And it's really something. Jim, go ahead.
Well, it's not just the linguistics and the programming and the semantics and all of the psychological things that are pushed on it, buttons that are pushed when you sit and watch TV for a long time. There's a technical side to it. There is wavelengths in certain frequencies that they have shown affect the human brain, and they use this to entrain people. Brainwave entrainment. It's an established science. And so you're not only being programmed, but your brain's being rewired if you sit and watch television for great lengths of time.
Yep. And the means of delivering those electromagnetic frequencies are cell phone towers, smartphones themselves, probably satellites, the ground wave emergency network towers, all the cell phone towers that are hidden all over every city in America. You got nowhere to hide, folks, quite literally, anymore. You don't. 150 years ago, there was no electromagnetic field on this planet, except for an occasional lightning strike, which would generate a little dose of something, or something
natural,
from deep space.
Natural
magnetic field, and from deep space occasionally. Now, it's 27 hours a day, we are being blasted. We don't have anywhere to go. So I'm just stunned that people don't understand more, that they are completely under the thumb of advanced technology. That's what they don't know. You mentioned 95 or more percent of the media, everything we see and hear is owned and controlled by five corporations. Now, I don't want you to think that those five corporations are necessarily all that different from each other. It's basically one, and they're under the shell, all right? It's all controlled. This isn't a conspiracy. It's fact. That's the way it's run. Dick Allgaier, 37 years as a television news anchorman, news reporter. I walked away from the business. In fact, next month, on this program, we start our 24th year in service to try to bring people better information. I walked out on television. I was an anchorman, news director. I saw where it was going, and I quit. And I know you were there, and you used to write to me and tell me how horrible it was because of the corporation.
You have to self-censor. You have to go along with the flow. So there's not a spoken conspiracy of what your, you know, worldview will be when you present the news, but you know how to do it.
You know what's out of bounds. You know where the parameters are. You know what to do, because if you screw up, there are 10,000 more people waiting to become a celebrity, and that's the quickest way to becoming a celebrity I know of, and that's to be a TV news presenter or reporter on camera. Boy, that's the way to do it. All right, hold on. Now, I won't tell you the obvious, folks, and I'm sure Jim and Harry and Dick well know that we're being listened to right now by a lot of people in the intelligence community, government agencies around the world who want to hear more about Dick Allgaier remote viewing the death of Adolf Hitler. What really happened to the Fuhrer? And we'll get into that in just a few minutes.
And I have some questions for Harry Cooper, too, about my data when we get back, too.
Very good. Okay.